Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Inside the 1 o'clock hour this morning on the Fan in New York, September 12th. It's Thursday. Week 2 starts later on tonight, and Waiver Wire Wednesday is over. Did you get Jordan Mason? Christian McCaffrey, I think, is coming back. And did you get Isaiah Likely? Did you get Alan Lazard? Yeah, and back to the Jets. I don't want to get too much into the football conversation tonight because, like I said, I mean, I will. Danny and Bayonne, don't hang up. I'm going to get to you. We don't have that many baseball nights left. And, like, I love football. I played football from age 9 to 21. I wouldn't be on this radio station if I didn't figure out what to do with that football in my hand. But I love baseball. Like, as a fan, I wish I was better at playing baseball when I was younger. I wish I stuck with it longer. But, like, I miss this time of year when it's over. When we get to November, I'm like, damn, it's a minute until spring training starts. So, like, I try to lean into this. And the fact that we have two playoff teams right now, if the season ended right now, the Yankees would be, the AL East winner, and the, you know, Mets would be the third wild card team. So let's live in that. Let's enjoy that. Let's talk around all of the things from the managers to the lineup to the bullpen and all those things. Another note, though, from, you know, the last call I had with Dre talking about the Jets, and he was talking about what the Jets have lost. I did just go back and listen to the video that I saw reposted from Connor Hughes, fellow Monmouth University Hawk, and it was about Bryce Huff. And Elliot Shore Parks, who was on WIP, is walking away from the Eagles meeting the media yesterday. As you know, Brian Daboll met the media, and so did Aaron Rodgers. And there was some quotes from both teams, but I'm kind of tabling that until Thursday Night Football, my show later on tomorrow. But what I'm saying here is that what people got today from the press conference with the Eagles going into Week 2, Bryce Huff got $34 million from the Eagles, and he's not playing that much. He's like a fourth stringer. Like, he's like fourth in line, not fourth stringer. He's a backup. They gave him all this money, and he's not better than the guys in front of him. Vic Fangio basically said he's got to earn his playing time. He didn't have to earn that money with them. He earned that money with the Jets. So maybe the Jets were on to something and not paying him the money that he was going to command. And maybe Jets fans got to slow down with saying, well, we lost these guys. We don't have the guys to replace them. You don't have the guys to replace that production against the 49ers. I can tell you, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, I've only watched the 49ers kick the Dallas Cowboys' ass. And the Cowboys are a legitimate double-digit win playoff team over there, and they have nothing for the 49ers. So that's why you shouldn't be so surprised that in week one you got rolled by the Niners. It could have been worse, but they were kicking field goals. Do not start to panic and think that that's going to continue against the Tennessee Titans, who fired Mike Vrabel and have Will Levis as their starting quarterback. 888-808-1019. I'm not saying that they're going to go down there to Nissan Stadium in Nashville and smoke them, but it's going to look a lot different than it looked out there in Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Okay, back to the phones we go. We were talking Mets before. I said a lot about David Stearns and Carlos Mendoza. Man, I'm tipping my cap to those guys. You know, it must be nice to get a new president of baseball operations when you've been through all of these different iterations, from Brody Van Wagenen to Billy Epler to like this guy knows what he's doing. And he was a guy that is well-respected and highly touted, and there's a lot of people that would have loved to hire David Stearns. And then the manager that you got was the Yankees bench coach that was also highly regarded by players, by people in baseball that knew one day he would be a manager, and it happened sooner than I think the New York Yankees thought. But the Yankees allowed it, and look what we have. Carmen is in Linden, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Carmen?
Hello, Keith. I'll take over where you just left off. First of all, Keith, I want you to know, I've been listening to you since you started. I'm double your age. I'm 75, but I'm also a Yankee fan for 65 years. In 1961, I was an Eminem boy. I watched Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris fight for the home run crown. So that's how far
back I got. Amazing.
I was able to live through it. I'm an old man. But
God bless.
I want you to know, I love the way you do your, it's not a job to me what you do. What you do is you talk about things, you give your point, but you let other people, you don't act like a know-it-all. I love the people on the Fan. I love all the hosts, but you are terrific. All I can say is, take it from an old man, the way you do your business, allowing other people to speak and not putting yourself down, but saying, you know, I don't know anything or whatever. We know what you know, people that really know. And I really enjoy what you do, but I really respect
Thanks.
What you allow the listeners to do.
I think we're all in a room having these sports conversations. I've been doing this from high school to college to in the ballparks now, online now. I don't know everything. I don't think I ever will. And I don't think any of us ever will. And you can learn something from everybody. So, you know, that's how I approach this.
Well, you ended up on me though, Keith. And I appreciate that. Even as an old man now, I see that coming through with you. But I want to say one thing about Mr. Mendoza. He is, I don't think he learned anything from the people at the Yankees. I don't think they made him the manager that he's become. I look at him and watch the moves that he makes, the way he talks to the press, the way he manages the team, the way he runs the show, and the way he does everything. It looks like he's been managing for 20 years.
It's incredible.
I love Buck.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Buck Showalter. I love him. But this guy, this choice was absolutely the most fantastic choice. And I'm a Yankee fan, but I love to see New York teams do well. One last point. I went to Villanova University. I've been a Knicks fan all my life. The three guys, I followed their careers. I graduated many, many years before. I graduated Villanova in 1971, over 50 years ago. But I was able to see Brunson come to the Knicks, DiVincenzo, and now the guy from the Nets.
Josh Hart, and Mikal Bridges.
The Hart and Bridges. It's terrific. But my biggest take this year is Mendoza. What a hell of a manager he is. The Mets are lucky to have him. And I'd love to see them go into the World Series against the Yankees and the Yankees to win in seven. I'm still a Yankee fan. God bless you, Keith. Keep doing the great job that you do. I love listening to you. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Carmen. 888-808-1019. I got to push back on the he didn't learn anything from the Yankees. There's some obvious things. And you of course he learned things from the Yankees. I know earlier in the year, you know, when guys weren't available, I'm like, oh, that's a Yankee thing. I mean, that's a baseball thing. But, like, you know, having lanes and having a bullpen budget and, like, that's just, you know, that's something that I just heard him talk about. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I know all teams do that, but the Yankees definitely do that. And talk about being media trained and how he talks to the media. You'll learn a lot about how to deal with the media and talk to the media being under the New York Yankees umbrella. Just dealing with New York in general, he had a front row seat to how the New York media is. If he was coming out of, let's say, Kansas City to New York, I think there would be a little bit of a culture shock for him as a first-time manager. That's why it seems like he's been doing this forever, because he knows the market. And I also just give him a lot of props and credit for his personality. The Yankees can't take credit for his personality. I was calling him Steady Mendy. Who else you know could be as steady-handed as this guy through all of the ups and downs and turmoils and LOL Mets moments that they had to shake off this year? He's the same. He's even-keeled. He's shown a little emotion here and there. But I know he's got these guys' backs. I know those guys are going out there and playing for him. And I know he's prepared. I know he's prepared. With the decisions that he makes, and yeah, you know, not all of them have worked. He's had some things blow up in his face, but that's what's going to happen. That's baseball. But for the most part, I think he's prepared. And I think he's in lockstep with
David Stearns. And I think they meet and they have a plan and they execute that plan. And if guys aren't playing, like, I love when the whole Jorge Lopez thing happened and he said, we have a standard here. And then Jorge Lopez was gone. You know, I loved when Edwin Diaz knew he was in the wrong with the sticky stuff. Mendoza didn't take up for him. He knew he was in the wrong. He did his time and he came back. And then fast forward a couple months, Edwin Diaz blows the save against the Diamondbacks. And that night, Mendoza says, I expect him to come out here and get the last three outs of the game tomorrow. And then what did he do? He came out and did it. Like, you need a guy to have your back. Mendoza, I just think, is the adult in the room. He fits these Mets. I've spoken about, you know, the Latin players and his connection with the Latin players, Hispanic players. Like, it means something to just be able to relate and speak that language and like, literally and figuratively speak their language and speak Spanish. Like, it just, with these Mets on this team, from Lindor to Severino to Francisco Alvarez to Starling Marte, like, they have the right guy for the job. And we thought that they were going to hire Craig Counsell. And then Craig Counsell went and finessed the Cubs. And look, I laughed at the hiring because it was an easy LOL Mets type of thing to say, ha, they're taking the Yankees bench coach. Ha, they're taking the Yankees leftovers. Ah, they want to be the Yankees. The Yankees could have made that guy manager, but the Yankees did the same. Like, the Phillies manager, Rob Thompson, could have been the Yankees manager. No, the Yankees manager was handpicked by Brian Cashman, and no matter what happens this year, I'm telling you, he'll be back, Yankee fans. So you guys can call me about the Boone era, and you can call me about the pet names, and you can call me about, you know, things with Clay Holmes and running Clay Holmes out there. Well, that's what Boone's going to do. And he's not managing for his job. Like, he's not. He's not managing like a desperate man. I know if I'm managing for my job, I'm not putting Clay Holmes in a one-run game after Juan Soto just fouled the ball off his foot, had the whole Yankee universe thinking he was going to be potentially out for the rest of the season, comes back with the heroic home run to get everybody, yeah, here we go, finally a lead. It's been 16 innings. I'm not putting Clay Holmes out there if I'm managing for my life and my job. Rocco in Saratoga. What up, Rock? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, don't worry, brother. You're going to make it in 2025.
I thought you were about to put more years on it, like 26.
Nah, 25 is your year.
You know, 2033, I'm going to be lit. By 2033, you watch, I'm going to be the man.
I know. That's when your bobblehead comes out, Keith. 2025, your bobblehead comes out and you got it made in the shade. But, hey, Keith, whatever you do, Be real. Don't let it swing you.
I can't. I'm already like authentic, real name, no gimmicks. Anybody that knows me, like, I've already been formed. There's no changing me. This is who I am.
Oh, you're Paul White, man. How does she live with you?
See, but
kidding,
my wife, because my wife met me in college. So she was an early adopter. She had a
molded you.
Nah, she just knew what it was. Like, okay. She recognized the talent early. You know.
Okay. I got you, bro.
My wife is not impressed by me. My wife and my son. If you saw how my house is set up, like, I'm like, I do chores and I clean up after them. They're not impressed
good,
by me, bro.
Good. My son does the same. He washes the dishes every night.
I do the laundry. I do the dishes. I sweep.
So does
I clean. Today, you know what I did today? I put together a TV unit today. It took hours for me to put together the TV unit. And really, the only reason I did it was because I put my TV lower where my son now is walking and he's touching my TV. I'm like, so I don't whoop his ass. I'm like, I got to get something to block you from this TV. I'm not going to hit him, but like, I'm yelling at him, hey, stop touching my TV, bro. Stop touching my TV, for real. Stop touching the TV. Don't put your hands on my TV.
Yeah. Hey, he's a kid. They're going to touch your iPad. They're going to
My
do
son
everything.
Doesn't care. My That's son punches me know. In the face, steps on me. Hey,
you got to slow him down, man.
I am fourth rank in my household. It is my wife, my son, my cat, and then I creep in at 3 in the morning, and I better keep it down and not wake anybody up. But as soon as the sun comes up, they're all loud as hell. They don't care that daddy sleep.
Yeah, especially the cat. Don't wake him up because then he's going to wake the wife up and then, you know.
I don't want any problems. I come in quiet as kept, quiet as a mouse. I barely let my keys jingle when I come in at night.
Good. That's the way to keep it happy. That's the way to keep the home happy, you know, Keith?
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
And don't forget, 2025 is your year.
Book it.
Hey, but anyway, the Miracle Mets. How do you do that in that Lindor? What a magic season. If it wasn't for Shohei, and I'm thinking he's MVP ahead of Shohei for me, because I think he means a lot more to the Mets. Without him, the Mets are done. They were done.
He's
no way.
He's far more valuable to the Mets than Shohei is to the Dodgers.
Oh, yes. That's what I mean. What is most valuable? You know Shohei's going to win, okay? It's a done deal. But as far as being the most valuable, Lindor by far, especially with Alonso having the off year he's having, where would the Mets be?
Yes.
I'm out of the equation. They're nowhere. They're absolutely nowhere. So kudos to Lindor. I mean, he showed it because he started off slow, Keith. Everyone was ready to be down on him. April was, but he always starts off slow.
Yeah, it's cold. It's cold out. Like, it's hard to play baseball with that.
He's got the Latin blood.
Sure.
He's warm.
Sure. You know, I watched him ball out in the World Baseball Classic, but they were playing in Miami.
There you go. That's a serious thing.
Yeah, he played well in March, but it was not freezing cold. It was not raining and windy like it is in Queens.
Right. Nah, that's a real thing. I have a friend that likes it super hot, can't take it when it gets cold, would like to live in a tropical forest, and look, I'd be sticky, sweaty, and miserable.
Sure.
So I couldn't do that. But she loves it. Like, put her in the sauna and she's happy as a clam.
Yeah.
Me? Not
some people
so
are warm-blooded. Some people are cold-blooded. Thanks for the call, Rock. 888-808-1019. Some people perform better in the hot temps. Some people perform better in the cold. Some people it is, they don't care what temperature it is. I don't know, man. I know Ortiz in the World Baseball Classic 2 years ago, David Ortiz got on live and he said that the Dominicans would have been better if they didn't have to play in March. And even though they played in some warm weather spots like San Diego, Miami, I forget where else, he said, it wasn't hot enough. It wasn't warm enough. If it was June, July, the Dominican team would have been better. He was making excuses after Puerto Rico beat the Dominican team. Like, all right. It's Miami, bro. It's still 80-something degrees. 888-808-1019. Yeah, it's funny. My son is about to be 17 months, and you just get a different perspective when you have a kid. Because, like, they don't know anything. And I thought I had a perspective from my cat not knowing anything and, like, the love I get from my cat and how my cat just treats me how she treats me for me. You know, even, you know, just before I left, you know, everybody's in bed. I'm watching a Yankee game. She comes and lays on my lap. That's where she wants to be. We got the whole couch. We got the whole bed. But she wants to be on me. Because I change the kitty litter. Because I feed her. Because I play with her. She don't know that I'm on the radio. She don't know how many followers I have. She doesn't know any of that. And my son, he doesn't know any of that either. My son just knows more. I'm feeding him more. I just got to feed him. And he knows up. I'm the tallest one. So he likes for me to pick him up because he wants to be over 6 feet. Up. You up. Up. And then he just yells and screams. My life is a lot of listening to crying. For the new parents out there and the people that, you know, the young guys that are about to have kids, you know, people ask me, what should I expect? Get used to the crying. Get used to the consistent crying and whining. It's all they do. I've been doing this for 17 months, and the cries change. My son just cries and whines his way into anything. And now I started to notice sometimes, you know, the different sounds, and I'd be catching them like, Faker. That's not a real cry. Just get used to it. My apartment is full of, from 6 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, that's how we all wake up, before the alarms. My son just, And then whatever he wants, food, toys, doesn't matter if he wants to go outside. It's another thing too with kids. You gotta walk them like dogs. Like, you gotta take your dog out for a walk. Like, kids need to be outside. Like, my son, like, he can't stay in the apartment. He has to go outside. And he can't physically tell you. He knows outside. He knows out. But, like, you can tell his mood. He's getting cranky if he doesn't go outside. So my other advice, you know, my advice to the new parents, like, or, you know, the young guys out there, if your girl is pregnant, get ready for the crying. There's going to be a lot of crying and whining for years. And you just got to deal with it. And don't let it get to you. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it break you. It is what it is. Get earplugs. Have your AirPods ready to go. And my other advice is, don't have kids. Then you have peace and quiet. Danny's in Bayonne. Danny, you're on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I just wanted to touch up on the Vikings, because I know when I called a few weeks ago, it was at the end of the show. I understand they played the Giants last week. You know, Daniel Jones, you know, all the issues. But you still got to show up and play. And I really think that people need to start putting more respect on the Vikings name. And I really think that they're going to really make a statement this week and beat the Niners at home. They did it last year with Brian Flores as the coordinator. I get it. Oh, no, Kirk Cousins. Bro, Kirk Cousins had 378 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick.
I remember that game.
You can't throw for 200 yards with 2 touchdowns and a pick? And what a revamped defense and a mad Brian Flores? Come on now. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl.
Short week. Short week for the 49ers, and they might be feeling themselves a little bit. They might be thinking that they're world beaters because they beat the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. They're 6-point favorites in Minnesota.
Yeah.
The over-under's high at 46. They're expecting points.
I don't think it's really going to be that high. I don't see it. I see more like kind of like the score last year, which would equate to close to the 46, but I think it's just a little too high. You know, and regardless whether they got McCaffrey or not, they shut McCaffrey down last year. So I get it. He's banged up this year, but whether he would be healthy or not, he doesn't strike fear in my heart. I'm not afraid of the Niners. I'm not afraid of the Eagles. I'm not afraid of the Cowboys. Shout out to my brother DJ. I get it. They're probably not going to win a Super Bowl, but you got to put more respect on their name.
Bro, I don't know if you heard my show Monday after the game. I said I listened to the Fan all day, and there's nothing else that I can add about Daniel Jones, the Giants defense, Brian Daboll. Like, everything's been said about the Giants. And what I said was, I'm going to take the approach from the Minnesota Vikings side. I'm going to talk about Brian Flores and the chip that he has on his shoulder, right? He wanted that Giants job. Kevin O'Connell, the chip that he has on his shoulder because he came in the same time as Brian Daboll and ended up losing to him in the playoffs, right? He's a good coach. Sam Darnold coming back to MetLife. A guy like Ivan Pace Jr., he was not sure to talk to the media and say it's not going to be a matchup. And that bulletin board material did not help the Giants at all. They stood on business.
No.
Stephon Gilmore got something to prove, right? The Cowboys didn't bring him back. He's getting up there in age. He's still pretty solid. Like, he was still out there making plays. He was all over Malik Neighbors. Aaron Jones, another one. The Packers didn't bring him back. He still got it. When he's healthy, he can still get it done. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, they have that combo of receivers. Sam Darnold's going to get them the ball. Like, they have some players over there. Andrew Van Ginkle, I went on for like 10 minutes about.
Yeah, they got a bunch of playmakers. They got a lot of guys with, like you said, chips on their shoulder, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with this year. I'm telling you, like
Dallas Turner.
I've read a lot of articles. Oh, dude, I love that kid. I mean, I would have preferred Jared Verse because I just thought he was more explosive.
Yeah, but if Dallas Turner falls, so like Dallas Turner was supposed to go number 9 to the Falcons and they took Penix.
I heard, yeah.
So Dallas Turner was a steal for the Vikings.
No, definitely. You know, just preference. But and another thing I've heard, you know, you talk about it before and I've heard other posts on the Fan. I understand it's early. I understand it was one preseason game, but I'm telling you, I really think JJ's the future. I understand, you know, you are the athlete. You know, I never played sports, but there's something, like, it was just something I saw in that kid. In the brief time he was out there, I was like, yo, with a little bit of training, this kid's got it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to be a superstar. Just put the pieces in place, let him get into the car, turn it, and go. That's it.
I feel bad for the kid getting hurt, but he is young. He's got plenty of time.
It doesn't bother me.
What was coming out of camp in the beginning was not what was coming out of camp in the next couple weeks. I think they do feel like J.J. McCarthy is their future quarterback, and he's going to lead them.
100%.
And we'll see. We'll see him.
I do.
Kevin O'Connell could get Nick Mullins to be productive, Josh Dobbs to be productive.
Exactly. And he doesn't get enough credit, but I'm telling you, he's going to be one of the next great, like, you know, like offensive gurus that they talk about.
Yeah, no, and he's a motivator. All the clips that came out of him talking to the team afterwards, I'm like, they love this guy. Justin Jefferson was talking about his relationship, how much he loves the coach.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I appreciate it, Keith. You have a good night. I hope everything's well.
Thanks for the call, Danny. You know, just talking Minnesota Vikings on the Fan in New York after they come through and destroy the Giants, and the Giants put up 2 field goals, and they got guys going on the radio, a K-Fan in Minnesota, talking about, yeah, I felt bad. We started to feel bad for Daniel Jones. I was reading the quotes yesterday. Dude said, yeah, we heard the boos raining in. We're like, okay, now we're good on our end. But when it got really loud, to where it was loud as it would be on third down defense, it was kind of bad. We kind of started to feel a little bad for him as we're still just completely taking away everything that he wants to do. That's Jonathan Grenard, the outside linebacker from the Vikings, going on the radio in Minnesota talking about, yeah, damn, them Giants fans booing the hell out of Daniel Jones. Like, you don't think that's funny? Like, they're in Minnesota talking about how bad the boos were because that first drive was so pitiful. The Bronx cheer made it to East Rutherford so fast. Bro said, I've been a part of those boos when you're walking on the field and your offense doesn't make anything happen. And there's just, you know, you would think it's an away game at this point. He said, but at that time, you know, how we were attacking him and understanding like where he's at in his career based on, you know, obviously the scheme that he has, you know, whatever the contract thing is going on. So we understand he's dealing with a lot. And if we can add another aspect, you know, pressure onto the guy to make him speed up his reads a little bit more, make sure that he's not going to get confident and comfortable back in the pocket, man, it was a great feeling to see it on the first couple of drives. They knew they had him. The Vikings defense knew they had him. The fans were booing him. They couldn't get anything going. They couldn't call any plays to be effective. They couldn't get in the end zone. They knew they had him. And then after the game, Kevin O'Connell said, we came out and we were the better conditioned team. Damn. Let's see what they do against the Commanders. 888-808-1019. Mike and Carteret, you'll be first up. We're still talking Lindor. We're still talking Mets. We're still talking about the Yankees. I don't know. Juan Soto might need to get off his feet tomorrow. So maybe you see Judgy back in right field. Dominguez in center field. Verdugo in left. I would give Soto a day. Or maybe they DH him. Who knows? Let's talk about it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. My show's over in like 23 minutes. I will be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Right back at it on the Fan. 101.9 FM, 888-808-1019. If you'd like to join the show, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking you up till 2 a.m. C-Mac is in here. He's ready to go. Talking Mets, talking Yankees. I just feel like, you know, we're in good spots. We're in different spots, but I think with expectations, you have to be pleased with where you are. I know Yankee fans are super spoiled like myself. We wish that we were four games up, five games up. We wish we didn't have to watch Clay Holmes. And it's funny. I made the joke about how Clay Holmes has, like, given off the same vibes as Daniel Jones. Like, the Yankee Giant fan cannot stand to watch either one of them play. And my boy Danny sent me a meme yesterday at 8:39 in the morning. I guess somebody photoshopped Daniel Jones into the Yankee uniform with a Yankee hat. Oh, Joey from Yankees Twitter at DJ LaMVP on Twitter says Daniel Jones has played so badly that Brian Cashman reached out to see if Daniel is interested in joining the Yankees bullpen. JS9Innings has posted that on Instagram and it's got like 20,000 likes. And it's just crazy that I had that thought. And then I checked my Instagram DMs. I guess other people are having the same thought about Daniel Jones and Clay Holmes being in the same conversation. And Ohtani and Lindor are in the same conversation. And young Josh called earlier and was saying, you know, that he hopes that Ohtani doesn't do too much more to add to his case. He's going to get 50-50. He's going to get 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. As of tonight, he's at 47-47. He hit another home run. And they're going to keep hyping him. When you watch MLB Network, they're going to have the little score bug. Shohei Ohtani, 47-47. And he got another stolen base and whatever. Dodgers win. Yeah, Ohtani is two stolen bases from a 50. I don't care. I just don't like the stolen bases don't impress me so much, man. Not this day and age. Like, if that's all we're going on, it's Ohtani this year because he's going to hit 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases, whatever. Just tell us that every year it's his award. It isn't the MVP. Now that he's in the National League, it's just whoever's in the National League, no matter what y'all do, you could put the team on your back like Lindor has. You can't win MVP. Mike's in Carteret. Mike, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? First time, long time.
Hey.
The reason for my call, like you just said, what is Lindor going to do to win the MVP? Like, he's carried the Mets. Without Lindor, the Mets don't exist. So, Ohtani stealing bases, that's great, but Lindor is carrying the Mets.
They're not highlights. Like, I'm looking at him right now, like, steal another base. Everybody's in there doing a little golf clap.
Care.
Like,
it's Lindor.
Who cares? Lindor has a highlight reel from this year of big moments, big home runs, big hits, turning double plays, making defensive web gems. I don't know, bro. I don't know.
I'm with you, though, because like you said, Lindor should have been an all-star. He didn't get it because the very soft start to the season.
But he should. That's another thing. He should have been an all-star. When Mookie went down, he should have been the replacement.
So that was really the main reason my call. The other reason is I'm a diehard Mets fan. It's finally my team seemed to be coming around because I'm a diehard Mets fan, diehard Devil fan. They're finally getting it together.
Ooh, I cannot wait for the Devils to start.
I can't wait.
I was just telling somebody how turned up it's going to be. The defense is better. I know the Hughes brothers are going to be on 10. They were on the cover of the NHL
on the new NHL
is it NHL 2K? Do they call it NHL 2K?
I think it's just NHL 2025. But between the Devils, the Mets, the Texas Longhorns, we're having a great year. Hopefully for the best. Like I said, hopefully Lindor and the Mets carry it because the Mets. Listen, the optimism. I'm that Mets fan, right? Like, we're gonna blow it somehow. We're gonna lose 2 or 3 to Philly, and we'll be right back where we are. I'm hoping for the best as a Falcon, a Met, Devil, and a Texas Longhorn fan.
Wow.
We always find a way to screw it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a rough one. But anyway, I just wanted to appreciate taking my call. You carry me through my nights because I work midnight shift. And hopefully, let's go Mets.
Thanks for the call, Mike. First call. Appreciate it. And glad that I'm here to help you through your shift. A Texas Longhorn football fan, a New Jersey Devils hockey fan, a New York Mets baseball fan. He didn't say his basketball team, but he says he's an Atlanta Falcons football fan. There's a lot of pain in there. The Devils were trash for a minute. The Mets, the Falcons, the Longhorns disappeared for a while. Now they're back to prominence. Stay down till you come up. Now he's got a situation where the Longhorns, I don't know if you guys watched them play against Michigan, the Longhorns are legit. The Mets, you know, and I'll stop there before I go through the rest of his team. The thing about the Mets right now, like, okay, like he said, I'm that Mets fan. I think they're going to blow it, whatever. But at least you're turning on the games against the Phillies coming up here, and they have a chance to punch the Phillies in the face. Think about how you're going to feel if they don't blow it. You know? Like, think about how you're going to feel if they sweep the Phillies. It's not impossible. The Yankees swept the Phillies. And I know that, you know, the Phillies were reeling a little bit, but at least you're at the point of the season where you're playing competitive baseball and meaningful baseball games. 888-808-1019. Jose Quintana, need a good one out of you. Like, that's the thing. Like, the Mets are about to face the Phillies, who for a good amount of the season, everybody was saying they're the best team in baseball because of their lineup, because of their pitching. So you get Aaron Nola versus Jose Quintana, Luis Severino versus TBD, and then it's also TBD against Sanchez. But Paul Blackburn, I think last we heard about Paul Blackburn, I don't think he's pulling up. I don't think he's coming back. McGill is going to get the opportunity to rock. So you'll get Quintana, Severino, and Peterson. Yeah, Paul Blackburn's going to miss the Philly series. Tyler McGill will get another start. So you'll get Quintana, Severino, McGill. You got to go into those series believing. It's not the years before. It has nothing to do with the past. You got to go in the series believing that Francisco Lindor can will you to victory. You got to go into the series believing that, like, this lineup, no matter how they put the lineup together, like I told you, the Mets have 126 lineup configurations. I always talk about the Yankees having a lot of lineup configurations. That was last year. The Yankees had 153 last year. They actually did lead the league. This year, the Yankees have been relatively healthy. Rizzo going down for a little bit. But for the most part, they've been able to put together more consistent lineups than they have. The Mets, it isn't a health thing. Now it kind of is. I mean, you know, McNeil going down. You had J.D. Martinez step out a little bit for paternity leave. Starling Marte wasn't available for a while. Alvarez wasn't available for a little while. Nimmo had been in and out of the lineup, either being hurt, being sick. But they're tweaking the lineup to just play their matchup and just to get a spark and get it going, and it's worked. You know, I think I jokingly said earlier, like, anybody could be the two-hitter. Like, anyone can be the two-hitter. You know, and Alonso doesn't have to be your cleanup hitter. And, you know, Nimmo was your leadoff hitter. What a revelation Francisco Lindor has been there. 888-808-1019, the bottom of the order. Harrison Bader. You know, guys like Jesse Winker being available, Tyrone Taylor, guys like that can get it done for you when you need. Never say die mentality. That game today was crazy. That game was crazy because it seemed like the Blue Jays, a last place team, and Bowden Francis. We were talking about it last night. I was like, oh, here we go. It's ace versus ace. Sean Manaea versus Bowden Francis. I'm like, if you go look at his last few starts, like, he's been pretty solid. Like, he hasn't given anything up. Props to the defense behind him. It felt like it was going that way today. And Lindor even said after the game that they, you know, the Mets have struggled in day games. They've struggled to get it going. But all it took was that ninth inning. And that was an electric ninth inning. I think, let me see if I can find the tweet from my guy Dan Bartles. Young Dan Bartles, Mets fan who pulls up to Yankee Stadium disguised. He doesn't ever wear a Yankee logo on him, but he knows where to go. And I've taken a couple pictures with him at Yankee Stadium. He had a tweet yesterday. I'm trying to find the exact tweet, but it was clever. He wrote, on the anniversary of September 11th, the Mets sent 11 batters to the plate in the ninth inning. Good job. Good job, Dan. Dan is working for the New York Post now. That tweet got 127,000 interactions. A good day for New York, a good day for our New York baseball teams that went out there wearing NYPD and FDNY on their hats, and they represented and got not just wins, but series wins and dramatic wins in the ninth inning and the 11th inning. Good. Mark is in Patterson. What's up, Mark? You're on the Fan.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to make a quick point about the Mets. The common theme we've seen with the Mets all season long is when they need a win, when they need to get hot, they get hot at the right time. You know, all season long, they weren't playing the greatest baseball. There was times when they were struggling. And when they needed to just go on a streak, win games, it's exactly what they did. And we have every reason to believe when they make it into the playoffs, I'll get onto a hot streak again because they need to be hot. And whenever they need to be hot, that's the common theme. And just keep plowing. Just get all the way to the World Series, even win the World Series. This will be the year. This is that year that we see the Mets. When they need to get hot, they get hot. It's a common theme we've seen all season.
Yeah, I think if they survive this stretch here, then there's really no looking back. Like if they go into Philadelphia and take 2 out of 3 or sweep the, like, then they're playing the best baseball at the right time, and like this is the time of the year where you got to be playing your best baseball.
Yeah, and what do you hold about the division? If they sweep Philly, they're 5 out in first place. I feel like we're just worried about the wild card and where the Braves and where the Braves win. But we should be worried about the Phillies. Are the Phillies win tonight? How are the Phillies playing? Because even though there's not too many games left, but the Phillies, they're not too far. They're not too far ahead.
8 games and there's 16 games left. That's a lot. Like,
they're about to play them, so that's 3. So if you sweep Philly and the Mets are red hot right now, you're 5 out of 1st place.
Yeah, but you know baseball is going to baseball. There's just going to be a game like there was 2 nights ago, the second game with Chris Bassett on the mound where you just can't get it going. Like, there's going to be a couple of those in there.
But we just had a 9-game win streak. Okay, so we snapped the win streak. And then
respect to the win streak. That was just what the doctor ordered, and that's why right now you're sitting in that third wild card spot because you needed that. I talked to multiple Mets fans. What do we got to do? And I'm like, the math isn't mathing. Like, the math isn't looking good, but the way that you flip the math is winning every day. You can't win two, lose two. Like, you got to win every day, and they did that for 9 days. Do it again.
So you think the division, that's too far.
I just think because the not for nothing, the Phillies just won 3 in a row. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Like, they're not going to just fall flat on their faces either. They have a lot of talent as well. They have good pitching, good hitting, a good manager. What you would need is the Mets to win and them to lose out, and I don't expect that to happen. There's really 2 weeks of the season left here.
Right, I hear.
But the wild card is, you know, you keep winning at the rate that you're winning, the wild card is a lot. And you have the tiebreakers over the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Padres, so it's almost a virtual lock as long as you don't lose out. You can't get swept by the Phillies coming up here.
All right, 2 out of 3, you'll take that, right?
Yeah, I think 2 out of 3 is realistic too.
This also shows you of what like a play, it's going to be like a pre-playoffs against the Phillies, like when the stakes matter.
Yes, that's what the Yankees were just in with the Royals, a postseason preview. A potential postseason preview. And that's why if they would have lost tonight off of pitching Clay Holmes, off of running into outs, off of wild pitches, and it would have been a complete different tone.
Right, and if I can make a quick point about Pete Alonso.
Yeah, go for it.
We're talking about Pete Alonso getting going and, you know, having the season that, you know, he put up with the 50-plus homer seasons. It could be that it's just peaked already, and you know he's seen his best times. You know, he's getting older, he's slowing down. We keep on talking about him, get him going, but maybe this is the new Pete. This is Pete that we have from now, if we re-sign him or not. But this is the Pete that baseball's going to get from here on out.
Thanks for the call, Mark. this is what's going to happen, in my opinion, with Pete Alonso. You're going to sign him to a short-term deal, and you can give him some more money than other teams because his value is more to you than anyone else. I don't think he's going to go out there and sign a long-term deal with Boris. Boris' big money is coming from Soto. I don't think anyone's going to be really beating down the door for his services after the year that he put together. You pay Pete. Pete is your guy. Pete is going to break records for the Mets. You can sign him to like a 3 or 4 year deal where he feels good about that. And then he goes back to being Pete. There's a ton of pressure. Look at Gleyber Torres. There was a ton of pressure this year in the walk year for Gleyber Torres to get it done. The Yankees are not going to pay him. But I think this worked out for the Mets where, like, you didn't need Pete this year to be the guy. Lindor and Vientos and J.D. Martinez and Jeff McNeil and other guys from Francisco, like, other guys stepped up. So Pete's value diminishing, you're going to get him for the low. And then you might get a comfortable, happy Pete that's like, oh, I finally got my payday. It's not as much as I thought it was going to be, but it's good enough, and now I can turn back into being Polar Bear Pete that he was. 888-808-1019. Call up. C-Mac Show is coming up next. I'll be back on tomorrow after Thursday Night Football. It's been real. It's been fun. I got to go home and go to sleep. I'm out. Bye. Radio 101.